At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Macabre misfortune.
I'm watching you.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 85 of Macabre Misfortunes.
What's going on, guys?
I didn't say my name yet.
Oh, that's Jerry and I'm Tracy.
Fair enough. Tracy, if you remember a few episodes ago, we talked about the Appalachian Trail.
We did.
Or the Appalachian Trail. We'll get into that again. And obviously we discussed how dangerous that it is. Now, we won't rehash all of that, but I will point out that approximately 1,200 people go missing on the trail each year.
That is crazy.
Now, they find most of them.
Alive, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, they find most of them. But still, it just goes to show how easy it is
to
get around. Now, the other thing I'm going to mention is that the trail is over 2,000 miles, stretches over several states, and it's very easy to get turned around and lose your direction.
That would be me, totally.
With that being said, today we're going to discuss Geraldine Largay. I believe is the correct pronunciation. Now, she went by Jerry instead of Geraldine, so that's how we're going to refer to her in this episode. Jerry was a 66-year-old experienced hiker who stepped off the path to use the bathroom and never returned.
Oh, good grief.
So let's learn a little bit about Jerry Largay. She was 66 years old, as I said. She was a retired Air Force nurse. She lived in Brentwood, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. It's like a suburb of Nashville. She was married with one adult child. Now, once she retired, she picked up the hobby of hiking. And at first, it was just kind of a thing she would do on the local trails, primarily to stay in shape and enjoy nature, like most people who do hiking. She actually became pretty well known in her area amongst the other hikers. She even earned the nickname of Inchworm. I don't know how that came to be, but well, that was her nickname.
Maybe she takes or goes really slow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe. She wanted to hike the Holy Grail, which of course would be the Appalachian Trail. To complete the whole trail, it takes 5 to 7 months, and only about one in every four who attempt it actually complete it.
Wow.
Jerry, at age 66, was in great shape, and she wanted to attempt this while she was still physically able to do so. She asked her husband if he would tag along and help, mainly for safety reasons. You know, you got a 66-year-old woman out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why would you want to go do something like that by yourself?
Well, she also wouldn't able to, because to travel that much, you got a lot of equipment you would need, and she wasn't able to carry all the equipment and everything. He agreed. Her husband, by the name was George. He really wasn't into hiking like she was. You know, to her, it was like a really a big thing. To him, he could take it or leave it. He had gone hiking with her before, but it was pretty much to keep her company, and like I said, it just wasn't something that seemed appealing to him to go hiking on for 5 to 7 months.
No, really? Especially when you got a daughter.
But, well, the daughter's grown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This was her dream, and he realized it, and he wanted to help her accomplishment, so he agreed. So Jerry and her husband were not going to be making this hike alone. Jerry's friend Jane Lee was going to be her hiking partner. In fact, Jerry's husband, George, was not going to actually be like on the path with them the whole time doing the hike. He was actually going to use a car and drive to each one of the checkpoints and then, you know, go get supplies if they needed them or help them set up camp, whatever the case was. Mm-hmm. So that's what his job was going to be. He was just going to meet up with them, and then that way they didn't have to carry everything along the whole hike.
Well, sounds like he has like a long wait time.
It does seem like that.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Especially if she's an inchworm.
Well, I'm sure he could probably do other stuff.
Yeah, but I think that would be a pain in the butt. He should have just went.
Well, I mean, I would rather do that than just do the hiking if that's not something you're into.
Yeah, okay.
This is like very strenuous territory. I mean, it's not like it's walking through the park on a path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is hiking literally up and down hills and, yeah. And we don't know what kind of shape he was in.
Right.
She might have been in great shape, mm-hmm. but, I mean, she came from the Air Force. So anyways, he's going to meet up with these checkpoints and get them to replenish their supplies and stuff. Jerry and Jane both were examined by doctors to make sure that they were physically fit to make this hike, and both passed with flying colors.
Good.
So April 13th, 2013, the three set out for Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, a very haunted town that we've done a story on before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where their journey is actually going to start along the path. The two ladies had a great time, and they made a bunch of friends along the way. They traveled over 1,000 miles with no real issues. They both were physically doing great. But soon after they had finished basically half the distance, there was a complication that would change everything. Jane, her partner, got an emergency phone call that her daughter had broken her ankle, and Jane was going to have to leave the hike and go back and help out her daughter's family.
Gosh, go back by herself?
Yes.
Yikes.
Well, I mean, she didn't have to, like, hike all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
She would just get in a car and go. But but she had to leave, so that left,
her
Jerry
by herself.
To decide, you know, hey, what am I going to do next? So Jane's heading back home, and after careful consideration, Jerry decided to go ahead and continue alone. She discussed it with her husband, and she felt that she had made enough friends along the way that she wouldn't really be alone. There would be other people along the mm-hmm. hike. Two of these friends were Dottie Rust and Regina Clark. She actually met them at a very rugged section of the trail. Regina even commented that on that particular section, if you were even 6 foot off the trail, you probably would be a goner.
Oh my gosh. That is terrifying.
So the group made it past that part with no issues. They even took a picture of Jerry. Unfortunately, this would be the last picture ever taken of Jerry. Jerry went missing shortly after meeting with her husband on July 21st. So remember, they started on April 13th.
Uh-huh.
So we were looking at April, May, June, July. We're 4 months into it at that point.
Right.
So she had entered the Appalachian Trail at Route 4 Crossing in Sandy River Plantation at that point. She texted her husband that day. She said that she was on top of Saddleback Mountain. The next morning, she would reach Poplar Ridge, and that's when that final picture was taken.
Okay.
Jerry was planning to hike to Spalding Mountain, which was about 8 miles to the north. She got through most of that trip on that day, but then she had to set up camp, and she just figured she'd just go ahead and finish it the next day on July 23rd. On the 23rd, she was supposed to meet her husband at the Route 23 crossing, but somewhere along that day is when she went missing. After waiting for hours, Jerry's husband called the police and he requested a search party. Now, it's important to point out that most people who go missing on the Appalachian Trail are found within 24 hours. Many others in 48 hours. But less than 1% are never found. There's only been 200 recorded deaths since 1937.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a lot, but not for that span of years.
Right. So the search party searched the entire area where Jerry had went missing. Now, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, she stepped off the trail to go to the bathroom. The search was started on foot, but later involved searching by air as well. Several interviewers with other hikers were also conducted with no luck. No one had seen her. Her disappearance raised a lot of questions. After all, she was pretty much an expert hiker. And she just stepped off the trail for long enough to go relieve herself, and now she's just completely lost.
That's when it's a good time for you to be a man. Because you could just whip it out and pee anywhere.
Well, she could have whipped it out and peed anywhere.
She's former military. And all that stuff and all that crap.
I mean, she knew all the proper protocol to do if she became lost.
Yeah.
So none of this actually made any sense. So what happens? Well, we'll discuss that right after this quick sponsor break. Tracy, we're going to fast forward to October 14th, 2015. 26 months after her disappearance. On property that's actually owned by the U.S. Navy, close to the Appalachian Trail, a contractor was exploring the area for a forestry survey. How does a forestry survey work? I mean, I don't know. Let me go up, excuse me, Mr. Pine Tree, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think about Tide Pods? I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe they do different surveys. I don't know.
Survey said.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Was it Steve Harvey? So this contractor came upon an abandoned campsite. He said there were personal items just kind of strewn everywhere. There was a tent there and it had been collapsed. It was obvious that no one was actually using this site, but it didn't make sense that somebody just abandoned an entire campsite.
Yeah.
You know, why did they just leave all their personal belongings there? And this was actually in a restricted part of the forest, I guess, because of the fact that the Navy owned it.
Oh, okay.
So he searches inside the tent and he finds a sleeping bag. He feels something in the sleeping bag.
Oh, no.
And it was the remains of Jerry on the inside. There was just a hollow skull sticking out of the top of the sleeping bag, and the rest of her body was inside the sleeping bag. She was less than a mile from the Appalachian
Trail. Don't say that. Oh, my gosh.
So here's where it gets even stranger. Jerry was found in Maine, obviously. Well, not obviously, because I hadn't said that, but she was found in Maine. A section that had been searched several times by countless volunteers, aircraft, and dogs. How many times have we heard that about missing people?
Right.
Where they go when they search an area.
But they never saw the tent or anything?
Apparently not. After reviewing the scene, it was determined that multiple canine units searched and came possibly as close as 100 feet from where she spent her final days. And this was within the first couple of days of the search.
Right.
Literally.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know how they come within 100 feet and don't find her. I mean, think about how close 100 feet is.
Oh, I know. I don't see how that's possible.
Throw a football 100 feet.
Heck yeah.
Anyways, the most depressing and probably disturbing part about this whole case were the things that they found at the campsite. Her phone showed several text messages that she had sent to her husband that never went through because there was no service in that part of the trail. The day she went missing, she sent a text that said, "In some trouble. Got off the trail to go to the bathroom, now lost. Can you call AMC to see if the trail maintainer can help me? I'm somewhere north of Woods Road."
Okay.
The next day, other texts were sent. "Lost since yesterday. Off the trail 3 or 4 miles. Call the police for what to do." And she signed it XOXO.
That had it so scary. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you don't know if somebody's going to... And no, it's like you said. None of the texts went through, so, you know... She don't know if somebody's going to come looking for her or not.
Well, she probably could see that the text didn't go through because when I send a text in a bad area or a bad reception, it'll typically say text didn't go through or something. Uh-huh. So she probably knew. Matter of fact, I know for a fact she probably knew because if you can't call somebody, you probably can't text.
Oh, that's so true.
Jane Lee, remember Jane? That was her partner at the beginning. She said that Jerry had moments where she would... at least occasionally become disoriented, getting mixed up or turned around due to the stress of the hike. So it's assumed that after a tough hike, Jerry wandered off to go use the bathroom. She probably got mixed up on a direction back, and that caused her to walk deeper and deeper into the woods, continuously making wrong turns, just trying to figure out how to get back to the trail. Also found at the campsite, besides her phone, was a journal. Jerry had been keeping notes on how she was trying to get back on the trail. She even drew a calendar, a makeshift calendar, to keep track of how many days she had been lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty smart of her.
In the beginning, the notes were all related to survival. She traveled more west to find a higher elevation to see if she could get cell service on her phone. That's why I said I think she knew those texts didn't go through. She finally reached her final destination on July 23rd, and she stayed there the rest of her time, hoping that someone would come there and find her. She set her tent up, but when she set it up, she put it under several large hemlock trees with large branches, and that unfortunately blocked her from the plains that were searching for her. She stayed in the camp until August 18th, writing entries into her journal each day. Now, as time went on, the journal entries turned from notes of survival to messages to loved ones. And at some point, Jerry realized that she was probably not going to be bound by anybody. She wrote small messages and loving notes to those closest to her. Her final entry was August 18th, 2013. It said, "When you find my body, please call my husband George and my daughter Carrie. It will be the greatest kindness for them to know that I am dead where you found me, no matter how many years from now." She died shortly after from a combination of starvation and dehydration.
You know, think about this. What if her text finally went through somehow, like after she'd been missing and her husband received them? How weird would that be? Like later, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's just a shame that, you know, and she probably wasn't even thinking about, you know, being out in the open so the helicopters could see her.
Right.
So that, you know, that didn't do her any good. It's just,
no, it was July. She was probably hot. Yeah. Trying to get shade.
Well, that's very true. It's just such a sad story. And I don't know. I just feel bad for her. Just feel bad.
I mean, she's a mile from the trail.
And that's what is the horrible part about it is. She was so damn close.
But see, apparently she had a really bad sense of direction, which probably is not a good trait to have if you're a professional hiker.
Well, that makes absolutely no sense.
Here's what I don't understand. If I was going to get off the trail to go use the bathroom, why don't you just walk a straight line till you get to where you're going and a straight line back?
Yeah.
That's the part I don't understand. I mean, you don't have to zigzag and do serpentines and maneuvers just to find a place to go pee.
I guess maybe she didn't want somebody to see her.
But you can still walk straight if you don't want somebody to see you.
No, that's true.
I mean, because at some point in time, there's going to be nothing but woods. So if you just say, okay, I'm just going to walk a straight line, and then when you get to, say, a tree that you're going to pinch behind, you're like, okay, once I'm done, I just got to go right back the way I came. That shouldn't be that hard.
No, and it just makes no sense that if she's an expert hiker, I mean, she should know this crap. I mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah,
but unless she just got delirious maybe from...
And that's possible. Like I said,
dehydration
that girl,
or something.
That girl said, well, she wasn't dehydrated yet because she had just started. I don't know how she... That's dumb talking about the first day. The rest of the time, I don't understand. And I think it was a smart move, probably just staying put somewhere. But if you're... She was on restricted land, probably nobody was going to come there.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
You're not going to have regular hikers come across there. They're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, I think it was just a sad series of unfortunate circumstances. So.
I think it is, too. Very sad.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.